Hello and welcome to the Berwyn United Methodist Church audio podcast. We're so glad you've joined us for this week's condensed version of our worship service. Here at Berwyn UMC, we believe in living out our faith with intention and purpose, and we're excited to share today's message with you. We'll start by reading scripture, then dive into a thought-provoking sermon titled, Bearing Fruit Before It's Too Late, and conclude with prayer. In today's message, we explore the urgency of bearing fruit in our lives as followers of Christ. We'll look at Jesus' parables in the Gospel of Luke, reminding us that time is precious and the kingdom of God is ready for us to experience today. This is not a call to fear, but an invitation to live a fuller, more meaningful life in Christ now. So whether you're tuning in from the comfort of your home, your car, or on a walk, we hope this message inspires you and brings you closer to God. Let's prepare our hearts to hear His word.
Our first reading this morning is Psalm 122, which can be found on page 571 in the Pew Bible. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good.
Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Then we'll be skipping forward to verses 31 to 35. You can find that on page 76 of the New Testament in your Pew Bibles. At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because of these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were killed, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if it does not, you can cut it down." Going to verse 31. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today and tomorrow and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I desire to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. And you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the name who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we come to this place in this time of worship to be moved by your Spirit, to hear your word read and proclaimed, to be transformed by what you speak to us. May all of these moments be bound to you, to your glory. May we be transformed so that the world may be transformed through your work in us. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I wanted to share with you a tension that I have with preaching. It's one that I've always struggled with, and today's passage really stirs up that tension. It's one that's come to a head in churches past, and it's one that people have asked me about that I just have a hard time explaining. This tension is this sense of urgency that we should have as Christians in bearing good fruit, of sharing the gospel, of making sure that our lives look and bear the kind of things that God has commanded us to bear. Because I've been asked, why don't you preach about hell? Why don't you tell people to flee the wrath to come? Why isn't that an emphasis of yours? If you have heard me preach at all for any length of time, you know I don't mention hell very often. And the primary reason for that is because I want people to choose Christ, choose God's kingdom, because they are attracted to the kind of life and a vision for a new world that is different from the current one, rather than be afraid and wanting to flee hell. The tension arises because you lose some urgency with that kind of desire. You lose an urgency to say, if I do not bear good fruit, what is to come? If I do not follow Christ. And there are times in our nation's history, there are times now, where that other style of preaching is effective. You have Jonathan Edwards, sinners in the hands of an angry God, repent now, because you're hanging on by a thread. At any point, that thread could be cut. Billy Graham's, repent now, for you do not know what tomorrow may bring. Jesus himself saying, unless you repent, you will end up like those who are killed in their sacrifices by Herod, or those whose tower fell on them. There should be some urgency in our work. There should be some urgency in my preaching. There should be some urgency in our desire to be a part of God's kingdom and bear good fruit. And yet somehow we've lost that urgency. We think we have more time. But this isn't unique to us. This isn't unique to Christians. Our culture is one where we are always told to have more time. Wherever you are on the age spectrum, more often than not, we think we have more days, another day, another time to act. But that's not the case in today's passage. Jesus tells two stories where people met untimely deaths. One, they were offering their sacrifices, and Herod comes and kills those people who are offering their sacrifices so much that it mingles their blood with the blood of their sacrifice. We have another story that Jesus tells that we don't know where in history this may be, but Herod was known for killing people that caused trouble for the Roman Empire. And he says, when that tower fell and killed those people, do you think they were worse sinners than the rest of Jerusalem? When Herod came and killed those offering their sacrifices in Galilee, do you think they were worse sinners than everybody else who lived? And this is something we think about as Christians. This is prevalent in our American theology that if you do good, good things will happen to you. If you do evil, evil things will happen to you, and you get what you deserve. Jesus is challenging that because he emphatically says no. The people in Galilee killed by Herod weren't any worse sinners than the rest of them. The people killed by the collapsing tower in Jerusalem were no worse than the people in Jerusalem. He does go on to say they're probably all equally in need of repentance. He said, if you do not repent now, you will be in the same state that they were in. I don't think this is to mean that God has caused the tower to collapse or that God had caused Herod to kill those who were worshiping and offering sacrifices. What I think this means is we all have a place, a way of living in this world that we are called to. We are all called to God's kingdom. We are all called to bear good fruit. And if we don't, then that calling remains unanswered. That calling remains dead inside, hidden from the world, and we lose out, and we are no better off than the people who never heard the calling to begin with. Our state is the same. We are dead with nothing to show for it, no kingdom work to point to. We skipped over Luke chapter 12 to get here. It's the parable of a rich fool who stores up lots of treasures for himself. He builds a bigger barn and he says, finally, I've got everything I needed. My wealth is protected. Everything is fine. I can sit back and relax and enjoy it all. Not that any of us ever actually get to that point in life. We're usually trying to accumulate more. But just as he's about finished saying, I finally made it. I'm good. We're good to go. I can rest the rest of my life. I've got it made. I'm on easy street. And a voice from heaven says, you fool, why do you think you even have tomorrow? Even tonight, your life is called before you. All of that work, all of that rest, thinking he had time in the future, completely erased in one sentence. We should have urgency. We should have a desire to be a part of what God is doing. We should have this longing to be in the presence of Christ by answering his call and following him where he leads us, bearing good fruit. Not because we're afraid that we will end up in hell, but because at any point our life could end. Any point something could happen. A tragedy could strike. A tower could fall. A political leader could cause challenges. At any point, Jesus is saying, you could be just like them. How are you going to live today if you don't know you have tomorrow? That should change us in what we do and how we live each day. Repentance and turning to Christ. Yes, there's an element of turning back from the wrath that may befall us. But it's an invitation to turn away from the ways of the world that lead to tragic ends, to unfulfilled life, into the one who invites us to the fullness of life, an everlasting life, a kingdom life, in this one and in the next. Why would we want to delay experiencing that here and now? Why would we want to say, oh, I'll get to that tomorrow? If the promises of Christ are so great and so amazing that we get to experience them here and now. John Wesley had said that now is the appointed time. Now is the kingdom moment. Repent and believe. So now is your moment. What are you putting off? What are the uncomfortable things you might be putting off? Because you think you'll have more time. Do you have a loved one that you have to offer forgiveness to or may you are seeking forgiveness from? Maybe you have a connection with someone that is strained and you know there is a way to fix this, but I just do not want to do it today. Maybe you're feeling a little estranged from God himself. Saying, God, I would love to be closer to you, but I just don't have the time today. If I could just make some time tomorrow, then we'll take care of it tomorrow. And we put it off, thinking we will always have tomorrow. But Jesus tells this parable that we read today, this parable of the fig tree and the vineyard, and it is given the allotted time, the 3 years. There's a Jewish festival where it was the festival of the trees, where trees are planted and given 3 years to grow and start bearing fruit. And you're not supposed to do anything with the fruit that may come on the tree during those 3 years. It's a time for the tree to invest in itself, to grow fuller, to be prepared to provide fruit. But on that third year, that fruit is picked. That's where the first fruits then are donated back, given to God, and then the rest of the fruit is available to eat. It's a minor festival, but it exists. This parable of 3 years for this tree to grow, it has been planted, tended to, allowed to grow and flourish. But it came to the time where it should be bearing fruit. And the owner of the vineyard comes looking for that fruit. And it isn't there. Now the owner of the vineyard said, all right, we've given it 3 years. We've allowed it to focus on itself and grow. And it just isn't showing signs of bearing fruit. Just cut it down. replace it. This garden space could be used by something else that will bear fruit. The time and energy we put into cultivating could be used somewhere else. So remove this fig tree and replace it. But the gardener says, just give me one more year. I will tend its roots. I will give it manure. I will do everything that I can to grow, allow this tree to bear good fruit. And if it hasn't done it after that year, then you can cut it down. This parable that we wrestle with, the sense of urgency, is that God is patient. God is good. God wants us to bear good fruit, and his patience with us rarely runs out. But he is constantly tending our roots. He is constantly calling us to a deeper sense of life in him so that we can bear that good fruit. Excuse me. We do not know when the axe may come. We do not know when it all may end. So ask yourself, how is God calling you to bear simple fruit each day? What is God asking you to do here and now to show signs of life and fruit and growth? Do you want a deeper faith? Commit to praying just a few minutes each day, spending time with God, speaking and listening. Want to love better and deeper? Write an encouraging note to someone, showing appreciation and love to them. Want to build relationships? Reach out to those that you've avoided. Want to see others flourish through your service and what God is doing through your hands and feet? Put your hands and feet to work. Find places to serve both inside and outside of the church. To be the hands and feet and voice of Christ in a world that desperately needs to hear it and to feel it. I'm not looking for big life change moments, though if they come, we celebrate them. But building those habits of bearing fruit and being a part of God's kingdom. Start each morning. This is something you can do. Start each moment, start each morning with a simple prayer. God, help me be a part of your kingdom today. God, help me bear fruit for your kingdom today. In today's passage, Jesus asks the question, what are we waiting for? Jesus invites us by saying, you could be living in the kingdom of God right now, here in this life. You could be experiencing the promises and everlasting fulfilling life that comes with it right now, if only you would repent and change your heart and mind. Will we receive the invitation? We have the sense of urgency that comes with it. Will we recognize that, yes, we may have many days ahead of us, but we have no idea? How many times have you been asked, if you knew this was your last day on earth, what would you do? Sometimes in jest, oh, I'd go find the perfect meal, or I'd spend time with loved ones. The answers could be numerous. Why do we wait? Why do we wait thinking the question is just hypothetical? We have no idea
if today is our last day. So my challenge for you is don't delay.
Start living in God's kingdom today. Start cultivating the roots that will help you bear good fruit. Choose one thing from that next steps list or come up with something entirely on your own by the prompting of the Spirit and commit to it. Start for the week. Start with 2 weeks. Start with the rest of Lent and watch it grow. Live with that sense of urgency and desire to be a part of what God is doing. For we do not know what tomorrow will bring. Let us pray. Lord, wake us up. Instill within us an urgency in life, an urgency to be a part of what you're doing, an urgency to see where you are at work, an urgency to be your hands and feet in whatever way we can.
an urgency to cry out in the darkness, proclaiming your good news to a world desperate to hear it. Help us to bear this good fruit, to live with purpose, to not know how many days we may have, but to trust that you are with us each day. Help us to turn our hearts towards you this day and every day that we are given. Amen.
Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that you have knit us together as your body, as a beloved community, seeking to be a part of your kingdom, seeking to grow with one another, to challenge one another, to uplift and support one another, so that when we leave this place, we may be your people, nourished by your Spirit and nourished that we are not alone. So that whatever difficulties we may face, no matter what challenges we see in the world and we see them as insurmountable, we may encourage one another to remember that you are alive, that you are with us, that you are at work in our world, and that no challenge, no evils in this world, no difficulties, no sin is greater than your presence. So when things seem hopeless, when the world seems lost, when lives that we know and cherish and love seem caught in darkness, when our situation seems unending and unchanging, let us turn to you and gather our strength, trusting that there is absolutely nothing that we are going through, no violence, no wars, no sickness, no fears and uncertainties that cannot be met by your grace, your love, and your transformation. Let that be our courage. Let that be our strength. Let that be our light that we carry into a world that is so desperate for hope, that's so desperate for encouragement, and so desperate to know that the way things are now are not the way you meant them to be. And that no matter how insurmountable, there is a way. And so with that promise, may we bear your good fruit. May we live with urgency in this day and the next. Be signs of your kingdom. Be citizens of your kingdom. To experience your fullness here in this life and in the life to come. So we pray for everything that we've lifted up this day, for those prayers that are still in our hearts because we cannot quite give them voice, for those situations in our world that seem so terrifying, for people, for immigrants who are afraid of having their lives upending, for citizens, people who live in harm's way, unsure of what the next day will be, for all those who face persecution and violence, the threat of violence because of who they are, where they were born, the color of their skin, the gender, or who they love. We long for a day when your justice will reign. We long for that day when the things of this earth will be organized according to heaven's values and the kingdom to come. But until that day comes, help us to live in your kingdom. And challenge the kingdoms of this world when they work against it. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again, who calls us to repent, who calls us to new life, and who taught his disciples to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Berwyn United Methodist Church audio podcast. We hope today's message challenged and encouraged you to embrace the life God is calling you to live. Remember, today is the day to act with urgency, bear fruit, and partake in God's kingdom. If you found this episode meaningful, please consider sharing it with friends and family. We're grateful for our community and for the opportunity to grow together in faith. If you want to know more about our worshiping community or would like to support it in any way, please visit our website at www.berwinumc.org. Join us next week for another uplifting message. Until then, may God bless you and guide you in all that you do. Take care, and we look forward to connecting with you again soon.